When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I mean, it's the winter meetings. I think he's looking at all kinds of options for building out his roster. So he asked if we would be flexible in the event that he had to move Saya and another player that you've read about, and we said that we would. So he's come and talked to us about a few different options, and we've listened, and I've talked to Saya about it, and he's willing to be flexible in certain situations.
Molly Ann Haugh, Ruthie Polinsky sitting in for David this morning, and we are delighted to welcome in our guy, Bruce Levine, and that is the voice of Joel Wolf, the agent for Seiya Suzuki, talking to Bruce, and he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Bruce.
Good morning, lady and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm hoping that there's some activity for the Chicago Cubs and White Sox before we leave here sometime in the late afternoon after the Rule 5 draft.
Very interesting to hear what Joe Wolf had to say, because I think one of the reasons we kind of settled on this idea that Cody Bellinger was going to be traded was because they couldn't move the corner outfielders, because the no-trade clauses would prevent them from maybe moving someone they might prefer to move. And then you got Joe Wolf there saying that maybe Seiya Suzuki would cooperate if they wanted to move him.
Yeah, he also ended that by saying it's a very small universe that would be acceptable to Suzuki if he allows the Cubs to trade him. I mean, what is in it for Suzuki other than maybe more flexibility, hearing that he's not going to have to be a DH in 2025? He's 30 years old. He had a reputation as a very good outfielder. He was a good outfielder for the Cubs initially when coming over, but deteriorated last year to the point where Craig Counsell felt that putting him in the DH role was more beneficial to a team with Bellinger in right, Armstrong in center, and Happ in left, and that was a better defensive area. But if you project this a little further and you say, what is the small universe like for Suzuki, it's probably a West Coast team like the Giants or San Diego, and it's probably incentive-laden to be able to waive your clause. If somebody's trading for you, you have 2 years left in your contract at $18 million a year, he's probably going to say, hey, I'll accept the trade, but the trading team's going to have to add a year onto my my salary and up it from 18 to a more substantial amount that is more true to what he, the type of offensive player he's been.
Bruce, on the Cubs side of things, explain this to me, how the Cubs get better. Like, what, moving Saya helps the Cubs how?
Well, two things, Ruthie, and it's a great question. The first part is Jed Hoyer is in the last year of his contract. The Cubs have not been to the playoffs since he took over. And there is a lot of pressure on him in the front office to make it from 83 wins to close to 90, okay? We heard Craig Counsell talk about that a lot at the end of last year, that we, our goal is to be 90-win team in the playoff every year. So getting back to your question about Suzuki and Bellinger, they're good players, but they might not be the type of players to get you to that next level of playoffs. You know, the Cubs had a lot of good players that had good years. They're lacking impact players from last year, and the offense was not up to snuff. 13th in Major League Baseball, a lot worse than that until June and July, the end of June and early July, when they started to turn on the motor a little bit and be a better offensive team. So from the perspective of being better, Bellinger's a good player. Suzuki's a good player. They both missed 30 games. You can't blame them for the injury. However, I think that the Cubs believe they need guys that, you know, drive in more runs, have more extra base potential. Suzuki had 49 extra base hits last year. You know, that's not awful for 130 games. It's not what you call, you know, the Judge Soto area. I think they need to upgrade their offense. The Cubs know that they need more power bat in the lineup. This would leave, if, let's say they trade Bellinger and Soto and Suzuki. That's $50 million. Can they go after another higher profile hitter? Can they trade for one? Is there a trade available with Toronto for Guerrero? These are all things that are going through their minds and part of their offseason plans, as to be more flexible and open, being able to be a better team.
You know, just when you thought that Soto had gotten more money than any player ever and any athlete in the history of the world, you turn around and there's plenty of money left for the Yankees, and they sign Max Fried to an 8-year, 100 or 218 million deal. I'm curious, Bruce, the price of poker is clearly going up, and I don't know that there's another Ohtani or Soto in the market in another year or two, but I'm wondering, does a guy like Garrett Crochet have more value now that a left-handed pitcher has made the kind of money that Max Fried has made? And does everything become more expensive given the raising prices in baseball?
Mike, you hit on something really essential. Crochet, for what most people consider a top-of-the-rotation 1-2 pitcher, is going to make $2.9 million compared to Fried, you know, making $29 million. The most he'll make next year, and his year before free agency, is probably about $7 or $8 million, even if he has a fantastic year. So from that perspective, Crochet is tremendously attractive on so many different levels. A power arm from the left side that nobody has right now, and a guy that's inexpensive to put on your roster that it doesn't impact you going after other players, doesn't impact you for the next 2 years. So is it, that leads me to a question to you. Does this make him more viable after Corbin Burns signs? We've seen Fried go off the chart. Mm-hmm. Is it better for the White Sox to wait for Burns to be signed somewhere and then have what is arguably is the best pitcher available on the open market?
Yeah, I mean, they need the best deal they can get, right? That's the answer. So if they can get whatever it is, three or four prospects now, then go ahead and make the move. But if they feel like there'll be more money down the line, or more players rather. They need a whole new, they need a new lineup from what I'm looking at here, and I'd be all for it. Get as much as you can.
And you know, with Chris Getz and his front office being new, they cannot afford to miss on this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. They're saying it, okay? We cannot make a mistake on this one. That goes all the way up to Jerry Reinsdorf when they look at this deal and they understand how essential this is to the White Sox gaining credibility and being a viable team going forward in 2025, more importantly, in 26 and 27. You have a pitching infrastructure that allows you to trade Crochet. Now you need a position player, a group of players that can be counted on to give you a credible offense so that you're not embarrassed to the point like you were last year, and that you're more of a competitive team every year. It might not be totally this year, but you have to identify those proper players, and you have to do it right now.
I know they've talked about there's no urgency, right, with moving Crochet at this point, but doesn't it feel like the timing is part of getting this right?
Yeah, Ruthie, you're right about that. And it goes back to what Mike said. If you feel you can get those three or four players right now while the markets are hot, you know, is this the right time to do it? Or do you wait like they did last year to trade still in season? It was March. It was already spring training when he was traded to San Diego for three players. So that's the tough part. I don't know exactly how they're weighing it. But, again, when you hear the Yankees have three of their top 10 available for a trade, or the Mets have three of their top 12 available to the White Sox in a trade, you have to evaluate each system differently, knowing that each system is not equal. They may be the top in that organization. They're not necessarily the top players available. More importantly, the position players that the White Sox are looking for, which may for sure include a shortstop that they'd like for up the middle. They're not sure that Montgomery, their number one prospect coming up, is necessarily going to stay at shortstop. So they need to fortify the middle of the infield. That's a priority for them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I got to be careful how I ask this question, Bruce, because I want to portray it correctly. I saw the new coaching staff. I saw the new manager has his new hires. And I recognized, I don't know, is there about 7 guys that helped deliver those 61 wins from last year? Or did they deliver the 121 losses that are still on the staff? Did that surprise you at all?
No, a little bit. I mean, I think it's lacking a little bit of a veteran presence there. But, again, great coaches, great managers in all sports have to come from somewhere. You know, the great ones came from inexperience and somebody identifying their talent along the way. It's no different with Will Venable. I mean, how many people said when the White Sox hired Venable, they said, oh, yeah, didn't he used to be a Cub coach a few years ago? And they knew very little about him.
Right.
Now that he's starting to make his presence felt, people are hearing from him, hearing the intelligence, the way that he presents himself. Mm-hmm. You have a way to warming up to it. I think people in our industry, I'll put myself first, if somebody doesn't have a huge credibility and track record, we're very leery of the fact that they can be any good at the job. I mean, look at the Bears situation now and the guesswork that everybody's doing about who should be the next coach for the Chicago Bears. It's a lot of guesswork. It really is.
Well, it's funny you draw the Bears parallel because I was just thinking the same thing. And when you talk about sort of lack of maybe experience on the coaching staff, this is a team that's going to be young. They don't know how to win. It's like, is there a concern that the coaching staff is maybe too young and too inexperienced in the relationship between, you know, the players and the coaching staff?
Ruthie, you tell me. You deal with modern athletes. You've done it for a long time now. The relatability of your coaches to your players is essential in our times now.
Yeah.
It's not some old guy sitting in a corner, you know, in his underwear waiting for the game to start chewing tobacco anymore. It's a guy that can relate to the player, get him the information, get him everything ready, and most importantly, be able to communicate on the level of these young players who demand the idea of, you must talk to me, you must explain to me. It's no longer, hey, kid, get the job done or you're going back to your minor league. So I think a young coaching staff is nothing that you should really fear at this point in time.
I just was surprised at how many of the support staff that were brought
retained,
back. That's all. I mean, I like Will Venable. We've had a chance to talk
to
him.
They have to what did they have to coach last year?
Okay.
Right.
But I mean, it's almost like I understood Grady Sizemore was coming back, but it was like Grady Sizemore and his staff's coming back. It's just weird.
Right. No, I get it, but you have a new manager. You have a new policy. They continue to hire new people in that front office. They're young, vibrant people. And for the first time in history, and I've mentioned this to you before, Mike, first time in history, the White Sox are going outside the organization to hire the very best in the game.
Yes.
And I think people should look at that and say, you know, good for you. It's not the good old boys network in the White Sox organization now.
I also was fascinated that Colson Montgomery is not only going to be, you know, we knew he was the centerpiece player and their best young player, but the idea that he is their shortstop and their starting shortstop, Ozzie told us that he thinks he's a third baseman, and I understand he wants to play shortstop. Does he have to prove that he can't play shortstop before he'd be willing to move to third base? Because it seems like they could use him there too.
And again, I think he used the proper term that he would be willing. We live in the he would be willing world of athletics now in sports, right?
That's right.
Not hey, you're playing shortstop or third. It's no, I think I'm a shortstop. I'm going to stay there. So I think Montgomery's going to get every chance he can to fail at shortstop for the White Sox. And because he's a big kid and he's only 22 years old. You know, there's that feeling that he's going to outgrow the position. His body's going to outgrow it. But, you know, you look at big shortstops over the years, and, you know, you look at A-Rod, you look at Cal Ripken and the great careers that they had. He's a super athletic kid. So I think you give him the opportunity to fail there. You know the bat is going to play. It's a big left-handed power bat for Montgomery. And you know what? And it's also, for the White Sox fan base, it's hope, hey, this is our top player in the organization. We've been hearing about him for 2 years now. Get him up here. Let's see something. Let's see something that could be really exciting, a left-handed home run hitter from the White Sox homegrown.
Bruce, I was covering the winter meetings last year when we were sort of, I was with NBC5 and we were sort of on Ohtani watch, and it was just molasses. You know, it was like watching paint dry. It sounds like it's really vibrant and exciting. There's a lot of news. Why do you think it's, why does this thing differ so much year to year?
Well, you were there with me, pushing me out of the way when Scott Boras was,
talking.
And I really admired the way that you stood your ground, got in there. I mean, it was really fun to watch. But Ruthie, the idea here again is Boras, who controls the off season for baseball. Last year he waited, the market waited to sign his players. Bellinger didn't sign until March last year, or late February with the Chicago Cubs. So with that in mind, he's had. 7 of the top 10 players that are free agents available. He wasn't going to sit back this time. He's going to talk again this afternoon before the meetings end here. But Boras controls the marketplace. He controls the best players in the game. And that is why you're seeing a quicker offseason. The better idea for teams that they're going to have to make trades rather than wait for free agents. And you're going to see teams before the first of the year try to get their entire roster, their 25-man roster together by making trades and signing the remaining free agents right now.
Don't be afraid to throw some elbows in there, Bruce.
There you go.
You certainly weren't afraid.
Listen, I don't mess around in a media scrum. If I'm there, I'm getting the sound. I'm not messing around.
That's the way to play.
I love it.
Bruce, so help me out. So now that that Bellinger's on the market and they can trade Suzuki too, I don't know what you'd get if you had to trade him someplace where they had to pay him more. But I understand they want to make some moves. Is Pete Alonso still on the table? When you think of what the Cubs are going to do, is it about taking away from what they had and getting cheaper and then opening spots for all the young players? Or is it about getting, you know, another bat in here, maybe more of a power bat in here? What do you think is going to happen? And are the Mets done now that they've spent that money? Does that mean that Pete Alonso might be more available, or do you think they will need more protection for Soto?
Well, what made Judge and Soto so spectacular this year? They're super talents that protected each other in that lineup.
Right.
They were a headache from the beginning for every team. I think Alonso's more important to the Mets now than he ever was.
Wow.
Just because of this, the factor of protecting Soto. It's not going to be Soto alone that can get this thing done. So you'll learn a little bit from, you know, having two impact players, if you can afford them, in your lineup like that. Dodgers have 6 or 7 impact players like that. They can afford everything. They have a $380 million TV deal every year that they get, and they can afford to spend anything you want. But back to the Cubs, you identified it properly, Mike. Power arms and power bats. That's what they need. You're going to see them go after bullpen power arms, okay? People who have gotten it done before, a guy like Yates who's out there as a free agent. Possibility of Williams from Milwaukee being traded in the last year of a contract. So power arms, if you clear, let's say you do trade Suzuki and Bellinger and you have $50 million back in your coffers. Why won't you be there for Corbin Burns, okay? Why won't you get a power arm, which they don't have They have very good starting pitching. Nobody averages more than 92.5 miles per hour. How about a power arm so that the opposition, when you have a three-game series, isn't seeing the same fastball coming out of the arm of starting pitchers? Why not have a dominant pitcher like Burns? These are the things that they're floating out there. They want to be stealth about the money they spend and the trades they make. And, again, it's a hugely important year for Hoyer and its front office.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Great catching up.
Enjoyed it.
All right,
keep those elbows sharp.
He's the best.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.